Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to RotoViz by using the code RVRadio2022. That's RVRADIO2022. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. Now, without further ado, here's the latest edition of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, for the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. I am Eric Balkman, reminding you from the FFPC, reminding you to play the FFPC Weekly Challenge. If you are looking for weekly action in the FFPC, it has arrived in 2022. You can formulate your own 10-player lineup or 12-player lineup. 10 players if you want to do it without kickers and defenses, 12 players if you want to do it with kickers and defenses. You can only pick one player per team. You can join a 30-team format, a 100-team format for either $35 or $200, or you could join the 10-team format, which is only $200 to play. But if you beat the other nine teams, your winnings are a 2023 free FFPC main event entry that's valued at about $2,000. So you can enter the main event for free, play for $1 million next year for free, as long as you beat out the other nine people that you're going against this week. That's all available at myffpc.com. Let's bring in our guest tonight. Give a warm welcome to the 11th place team manager in the 2022 FFPC main event, a contest paying out $1 million for first place. Welcome in, Mr. Rob Abbott. Rob, welcome in. Thanks.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Doing great. Very excited. We were talking before we went on the air. I'm a Packers fan. What's your team of choice in the NFL that you cheer for?
I live in Houston, so okay. The Texans. It's sad times here for the Texans.
As long as we're doing that, I don't think we are talking about. We're talking about the Cardinals aspect of Keonta Ingram. Before we get to that, what about Eno Benjamin joining your Texans? Are you very excited about? I mean, is this the Damian Pierce handcuff now? Is that how you're looking at this?
I mean, who knows? I have no idea. They love Rex Burkhead here for some reason. So hopefully Damian Pierce continues to be the guy. I would love for Pierce to be a three-down back. I really don't hope Eno has no role here, to be honest with you.
Well, okay, let's frame the question like this. I think you're right, number one. I think Pierce is still going to be the guy. I don't think this affects him. But for anybody looking for that one injury away type guy, you already said Houston loves Burkhead. Is Benjamin a guy that you're not really concerning yourself with because Houston may, you know, still want to incorporate Burkhead in, and then neither one of these guys have value if Pierce were to get hurt?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I have no idea whether or not, you know, they view Eno as a three-down back if Pierce were to go down or not. I mean, they have Eno, they have Burkhead, and they have Dare
Ogunbowale from Wisconsin.
They've got all these third down backs, if Pierce goes down, who knows what they would do, to be honest with you.
I think that one of the things I've learned over the years is never knowing what Kyle Shanahan's capable of. And that was proven to be the case again today or yesterday. I can't remember which day the report it came out. But, you know, the Niners give up this draft capital to acquire Christian McCaffrey. And now smartly or unintelligently, depending upon your view on this, Kyle Shanahan says he wants to split the carries and the touches evenly between Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell. How much stock do you put into that statement from Shanahan? And I guess, you know, based on how you answer that question, how are you handling Elijah Mitchell in starting lineups, knowing that he could be getting half the touches in that Niners backfield?
I mean, I thought he looked great last night. I mean, he looked explosive, made big plays. I mean, I don't think you can start him yet just because, like you said, starting the question, who knows with Shanahan? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it certainly looks as if he's going to have a role. And if you're in a tight spot with buys or injuries, there are worse guys you could be starting than Elijah Mitchell just because you know it's a good offense. He looks really good. And if they're talking 50-50 or hot hand approach, then, you know, like I said, I'm not starting him on any of my teams right now. He's more of a, you know, a handcuff for McCaffrey at this point. I mean, he really kind of hurts McCaffrey more than he's a startable player himself at this point.
And I'm a recovering Christian McCaffrey drafter out there. Like, I've been burned by him because of his injuries or whatever. But I sometimes feel like, you know, now that he has a situation in San Francisco where they can put out Mitchell to take some of these carries away, I feel like 80% or 85% of McCaffrey every week might even be better than 100% of McCaffrey, because 100% of McCaffrey the last few years, he breaks down and he gets hurt. And maybe that won't be the case with Mitchell. So if he does take away performance from McCaffrey, maybe he keeps him healthy throughout the season. The real question, I mean, we're starting McCaffrey no matter what. The real question here is, what are we doing with Mitchell? And for you, as it stands right now, even with, if this report is true, you're not deploying Mitchell out there as a
player. I mean, we have one game to go off of at this point. I mean, I'm saying for week 11, I'm not starting Elijah Mitchell on any teams, but, you know, we can reassess after each week. And if the issue really is McCaffrey kept the third down work, he's going to be the 2 minute back. He dominated the goal line carries. I mean, if Mitchell is just getting half of first and second down work, you know, like, his ceiling is just capped. I mean, what does he really have there? So, but I mean, like I said, it's a week to week situation. So we'll reassess after we see what they do next game.
The smart players always do. It's a weekly game with the FFPC and fantasy football in general. And the more you, you know, reevaluate everything after every week, I think the better your lineup turns out to be the following week. Now, they're looking for better things in Los Angeles with the defending Super Bowl champs right now, and they're not seeing it. Now, the Cooper Kupp thing is obviously a mess, but I want to talk about the backfield with you. Kyren Williams, is he going to be the guy that is going to take control of this backfield for the second half of the season? Or do you view this as more of a quagmire where they're going to want to work in Akers, they're going to want to work in Henderson, and you're looking at Kyren Williams just being maybe the better part of a committee, but never developing into being a three-down back? How do you see this backfield as it stands right now and then going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I've been stashing Kyren on a lot of teams, and, you know, each week for the last, I feel like, 3 or 4 weeks, you know, when you're doing waivers on Wednesday, Kyren's just staring at you as an easy, you know, do I want to keep him another week just to see what happens? And unfortunately, like, his situation has just gotten worse. Cam Akers came back. The offense hasn't been good in general all season, and now Cooper Kupp's injured. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if he is given the job over Henderson and Cam, I mean, how good of a role, how good of an offense is it really going to be? So, I'm not optimistic about him. I felt better about him a couple weeks ago, to be honest with you. But I mean, he's certainly a hold. You know, see what you got. See, you know, what the situation looks like a couple weeks from now. Does the offense get any better? Does he take over the job? And, you know, like, nobody was excited about Donta Foreman when McCaffrey got traded. You know, everybody said, "Oh, it's a bad offense." You know, what does this role really mean? And I mean, he's been a really good fantasy player. So Maybe Kyren can turn into, you know, do something like that. But right now, it's hard to feel good about a situation.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's I don't want to say it's a dart throw, but it's a calculated dart throw, right? And I think that's what people are going to be treating Keyonte Ingram on the waiver wire this week, knowing that Eno Benjamin is with the Texans. And now Keyonte Ingram looks to be the next guy up behind James Conner. And that's a high-value backup position because James Conner, for whatever, you know, I know he's battled cancer and everything, and he's a great story, but the dude gets hurt a lot, and he misses a significant amount of time, plays a brutal position. Keyonte Ingram was a guy that the Cardinals drafted. Are you looking to acquire him, again, as a one of those one-injury-away type running backs? Are you looking to acquire him in a bunch of leagues in the FFPC this week?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think he's a great ad. I mean, we saw, you know, I don't know, 18, 19 points when he filled in for Connor earlier this season. Darrell Williams is on the IR. Eno's gone. So, yeah, Connor goes down, and Keyonte's got the whole backfield. So I think he's a great ad anywhere you can get him.
Now, do you think you're going to have to overpay to get him? Because I think a lot of people have that opinion.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, that's game of strategy with the waiver wire of how much, you know, like you're assessing your roster, you know, how desperate are you for a running back? What, you know, where are you, what kind of depth do you have on your bench? Yeah. So there'll certainly be some teams I'm aggressive bidding on him, and there'll be some other teams when I'm just throwing a low bid to see what happens. But every owner's got to kind of assess their own situation there, but I'm expecting the bids on him to be pretty competitive.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's one of those, and I don't know if you've felt this way, but a lot of the guests that we've had on the shows this year have said, you know, that the waiver wire this year feels a little bit different. It doesn't feel like there have been as many aggressive bids because maybe there haven't been that many dominant players out there that you can acquire. Has that been your experience as well?
Oh, 100%. I mean, okay. It very few guys that have been go after kind of guys that you feel could be difference makers on your team. So it certainly has been a weird year on the waiver wire, no doubt.
I looked at your team, your 11th place main event team, and I think I have this right, but correct me if I'm wrong. I think you drafted Chris Olave and George Pickens, and then you picked up Alec Pierce off the waiver wire, right? Is that accurate?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, right. So now you're looking at 15% of your team is rookie wide receivers. I want to know if this is an outlier type approach for you, acquiring these rookie receivers. And in the past, when you have had them on your team, what's been your experience? Because I feel like we don't really, as high stakes players, go hardcore after rookie receivers early in drafts. It's been kind of like the mid rounds, maybe the late early rounds. You're starting to pick up the Burks, the Olaves, those types of players this year. What's been your experience with rookie receivers in the past, and then your approach this year to rookie receivers on this team? It's obviously paid off. Is this something you normally do?
I mean, it's not something I go into a draft saying I want to target rookie receivers. I mean, we've seen the last couple of years that rookie receivers have been league winners and difference makers with Jefferson and Chase and Waddle. I mean, the last few years, rookie receivers have been better than they've ever been. But with this team, it was a unique team. We had the first pick overall. I drafted this one with a good friend of mine, Mark, who's another high stakes guy. And we took McCaffrey first, and our plan was to take AJ Brown and Tyreek Hill. We wanted AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill coming back at the 2-3 turn. Well, this was a draft with the ship chasing guys, Dave Hubbard, Chad, one of the dudes from Draft Sharks. I mean, it was a loaded room, and all of those receivers went in the second round before it got back to us. And so with all those receivers going, it kind of pushed a few of the running backs back. And so we pivoted and went with Aaron Jones and Kamara at the 2-3 turn. And that's probably out of all the drafts that we did, probably the only three running back start we had. But because we started three running backs in those middle rounds, we were more willing to chase upside with some of these rookie receivers. We took, I think, DeAndre Hopkins at the 6-7 turn, and then Olave and Pickens. And so because we had started so running back heavy, we were we are more willing to take chances going after the high upside rookies.
So I'm just looking at this right now because you brought you name dropped those guys, and I'm like, God, this sounds like a loaded league. It's even more loaded than I thought. So I'm bringing it up right now with all the different studs that you had in this league, all the different guys that have had a lot of success in the FFPC over the years. Obviously yourself, but I'm looking at this now. You also brought up David Hubbard, who was in this league. You're looking at Chad Schroeder. Obviously, you mentioned him. But Biplab Mandel, a guy who's been awesome right. in pretty much every format. Chris Hammond, who has had a guy I've been trying to get on shows for years. He always turns me down, but he's had a lot of success. Matt Schaub from Draft Sharks, who you brought up. He was in this league as well. And then Peter Overzet, the Shark Station crew. And, by the way, former guest of the show, just made his debut on the High Stakes Fantasy Football over this summer, Rashad Cobb, who has won a ton of FFPC.
Yeah, recognized his name as well.
Like over half the league here. And
it was loaded for sure.
Now, so this brings up another question. When you know you're drafting against these guys, you know you're in a loaded league, how much do you modify your strategy when you're drafting?
No, I mean, look, we had the first pick. So we're at the turn. It's not like we were in the middle of the draft. I mean, when you're at the turn, either end of the draft, I mean, you kind of taking what falls to you. And like I said, I mean, we came in with one strategy if we wanted. We were planning on doing McCaffrey and then four straight receivers, you know, something like that. But all those receivers win, and so we pivoted and took Kamara and Aaron Jones at 2-3. And it was a very unique draft for us. It's the only three running back start we had. And then so from there, we just kind of, adjusted with what was falling to us.
And that league too, if I remember this correctly, or the team that we're talking about in the 11th place, the 11th place overall team, this league you had. So obviously that three running back start has set you up for some pretty good things, but you also have on this squad. So McCaffrey, Kamara, Jones, Kenneth Walker too.
He fell late.
You went, now he's on bye this week, but I mean, when you're at the peak of your powers, you're starting all four of these running backs.
We've started four running backs for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Last thing I want to bring up here. Well, not last thing. Next thing I want to bring up on this draft. Yeah, the 101. Jonathan Taylor went most in the number one overall pick in a lot of main event football guys drafts. Christian McCaffrey did go one overall in several of them as well, numerous of them. I'm curious to get your thought process on why you wanted McCaffrey over Taylor, because Taylor looks like one of the biggest busts in recent high stakes memory.
Yeah, I mean, it was more just ceiling. I mean, like McCaffrey in his prime was a 28, 30 point guy. Jonathan Taylor was the RB1 last year and 24 points, and all the talk with Hines, they were really hyping up Hines and his usage. And felt like McCaffrey had a higher ceiling and more of a league-winning type guy. Nothing really against Taylor. I mean, you're nitpicking. You're really splitting hairs there between those two guys. But McCaffrey was just the guy that we both wanted to take there.
Let's talk about the situation that's going on with Treylon Burks right now. I know when he got placed on IR. A lot of the Treylon Burks truthers kind of like non-existent, right? But now I've seen people who weren't necessarily high on Burks at the start of the season talking about, he is following a pattern of this, of a rookie receiver who starts off real slow and then mid-season picks it up and is just crushing it down the stretch. I hesitate to say league winner with Burks, but it's certainly a non-zero chance of that happening. How do you fall in on this conversation, knowing that Burks came back this past week and he gets to face the Green Bay Packers on Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the exact kind of guy that you want to have on your bench because of that upside, that ceiling that you're talking about. I mean, who knows with this offense if he's going to have that. League winning is probably a stretch for him. Mm-hmm. But certainly, a starting caliber player that you want to have. And he was a free agent in a lot of leagues over the last couple of weeks. He was dropped in several places. And in this league right here, he was a free agent last week. And I believe we bid 200 on him. And Overzet won him for like $400.
He loves him some receivers.
Absolutely. And and he, like I said, I mean, Burks, that's the exact kind of guy you want on your bench. You want guys that have that ceiling. You know, you don't want, you know, guys that are 10, 12 point guys on your bench. I mean, what does that do for you? So, I have no idea what Burks is going to become, if he's going to mean anything this year. But certainly a guy that I would want on as many teams as I could get right now.
Darren Waller, my God, it would be horrible to be a Raiders fan this past week. Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow go on IR within hours of each other. They're already 2-7, and yet Mark Davis says Josh McDaniels is doing a fantastic job. Wow, a lot of stuff going on in right. Las Vegas as normal. But Darren Waller goes on IR. Foster Moreau, your opinion on him is, knowing that you play in a tight end premium format like the FFPC Main Event Football Guys Players Championship, is Foster Moreau a guy that you'd be looking to flex out now, knowing that Waller's going to be out the next 4 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about flex. I mean, with the mess that the tight end position is, I mean, it was already a crazy season at tight end if you didn't have Kelce or Andrews. And now you got Gerald Everett going down, Zach Ertz going down. If he's certainly a guy I would want to be playing a tight end if I didn't have an elite tight end. Flex, and like Moreau kind of, to me, has a ceiling of, I mean, what is he really going to do? 15, 16 points. I mean, I'd much rather be, you know, having guys like Devonta Smith or Olave or
higher ceiling guys.
Yeah. I mean, even a running back like Jeff Wilson. I mean, those are guys that have 25, 30, you know, Tyler Boyd, even. I mean, he's boring. Tyler Boyd's a boring guy, but he's got 25, 30 point ceiling in him. I just don't think Moreau has that. So Moreau is a guy that I mean, there's so many teams where a tight end is a mess, right? So Moreau to me is a great tight end to have if your original tight end plan has not worked out. He's not really a guy I'm probably trying to start in a flex spot, but he's certainly a viable starter at tight end to me.
And it's weird too, because I think a lot of people are under the opinion like, oh, FFPC, I could start three tight ends if I want because of the tight end premium scoring. But because, and not just this year, but I think the last couple of years, Rob, tight end has been really bad. And while it's tempting to play these, you know, quote unquote upside tight ends there, you might be better off just not doing that and loading up running backs and receivers there instead.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are very few teams where I'm starting multiple tight ends this year. I mean, it's there's just so few of them that are startable.
Is that sort of how your draft strategy went too, where you want to try to get an elite tight end, but then after that, you're kind of like, there's better options to build my team up into a juggernaut.
Yeah. I mean, there weren't many mid-round tight end guys. I mean, Ertz was not a guy, you know, like that I was ever really targeting. Who the other middle round guys, but yeah, I mean, if it wasn't Kelce, I mean, unfortunately I have too much Kyle Pitts, but Kelce or Pitts, and I was certainly fine with waiting and getting a guy like Njoku or Kmet much later in the draft. Just cause it's such a crapshoot, no matter if you're taking a tight end in the 7th round or the 11th round. I mean, who knows?
I'm looking at it right now. This is how the main event, the tight ends went in the main event the last 2 days of drafting season, which would have been the Saturday and then the Sunday of game day, essentially.
Right.
And you're looking at 8 tight ends went in the top 5 rounds. Kelce, Pitts, Andrews, Waller, Schultz, Kittle, Goddard, Hockenson. But then you're looking at essentially more than 2 rounds later before that number 9 tight end went off the board. And now you're talking about these mid-round guys, the Ertz, the Kmets of the world. Kmet has really been coming on this year.
Right, yeah.
Freiermuth, Dawson Knox, Albert Okwuepemau. What a train wreck that's been. Irv Smith, who obviously was looking good, he goes down. David Njoku was looking awesome, he gets hurt. Tyler Higbee was setting the world on fire too. So there's been a lot of misses there. And it's tough to get production. And I feel like this is one of those things where we're always going to be talking about tight ends in this format going forward. But certainly you were of the opinion this year, getting the elite guy and in the mid rounds, there's bigger holes to be plugging than backup tight end or even your third tight end.
Yeah, that's how I approach most of my drafts.
Speaking of tight ends, TJ Hockenson goes to Minnesota, and one game's worth of a sample size is what we have in Detroit. And I know that's not a lot, but we always ask unfair questions to our guests on this show. It's probably why we never get repeat guests. James Mitchell and Brock Wright are now in Detroit. Are you done with either of these guys being rosterable, even in a tight end premium format?
Yeah, I don't don't see a point not in having either guy on your roster. Drop them. If you have them, drop them. I don't, no point in having them to me.
What about, and I don't have this on the list, but I should ask you anyway. So Zach Ertz, we know, is done for the season in Arizona. Trey McBride was the first rookie tight end chosen in the draft this year. Any love for Trey McBride this week? Are you looking at him as you know, a guy that you can roster and maybe plug in at tight end?
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, he's another guy like Keyonte Ingram we talked about earlier that I think that bids are going to probably be pretty – people are going to be pretty aggressive on bidding for him, especially not just the Ertz guy, but, you know, with Goddard going down, you know, just the mess the tight end is, that I think McBride is going to be a popular guy to bid on this week. And I think he's a good – he's worth adding. We know he's a good receiving tight end, and – Ertz has had value in that offense. So not saying I would necessarily start him this week. I mean, probably would want to add him and kind of see what this offense looks like. But he's definitely worth adding.
You mentioned Philadelphia. We should, I just talked with Jason Kahn on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour earlier tonight about this as well. Jack Stoll, Tyree Jackson, Grant Calcaterra. Those are the other Eagles tight ends. If you do have Dallas Goedert, are you better off trying to fill that hole on your roster with a team other than the Eagles, or is there any value in going a couple of bucks on any three of those guys?
Yeah, I've not done all my waivers yet, but I've not put any bids in on any of the Eagles tight ends. I don't see myself bidding on any of those guys.
So we talk with players on this show that are doing very well in the season. You are doing very well this season, 11th place in the main event. Patrick Mahomes, obviously a huge part of that. However, you have Justin Fields on this team as well. And Justin Fields, in case you're not familiar, Rob, he's the starting running back for the Chicago Bears. Not a lot of people know that.
Right.
But you have him on your team. Has it been tempting the last couple of weeks? Is it tempting this week to bench Mahomes in favor of a dude who is chewing up rushing yardage for a quarterback that we haven't seen in several years?
I mean, it has not been tempting yet. I mean, this would be the first week it's been tempting just because it's back-to-back 40-point games. I mean, it's hard to ignore that. Mahomes offers a floor that it's – I can't imagine we're not going to be starting Mahomes. I guess to me, when we get into the tournament at the end of the season, you know, if we get into that final week or two – and you start kind of playing the game theory of looking at ownership and seeing that, oh man, a lot of Mahomes teams are in the top 25, 50, whatever, and we're competing, you know, like, do we pivot to Fields to try to get a difference maker there that can put us over the top? To me, that's, you know, like, strategy-wise for our team, that's probably what we'll be thinking about. But, I mean, it's hard not to rank Fields as a top five quarterback right now.
Right.
I mean, there's very few quarterbacks that I would be starting over Fields, and Mahomes just happens to be one of them.
You know, it's weird because I keep looking at his production, and obviously it's been facilitated by a lot of big plays, but which I think are fluky. But when the big plays keep coming, how fluky is that going forward? You know, it's just, I was telling this story. I can't remember which show I was on. I was telling this story that not this past week, but in week 9, I had a bye week issue or an injury issue, and I picked up Fields and started him. And I was telling my buddy, oh, this is great. I know I got Fields going in at least one league. This is fantastic. And then I checked all my teams after the week was over. I didn't have Fields anywhere. it was just the most depressing thing because I kept scrolling through all my teams. Where's the Fields team? Where's the Fields?
Right.
I didn't have it. It was so annoying. But it is one of those things. And I think the other thing, too, is like for you, Mahomes versus Fields, yeah, Mahomes is probably your guy. But for some of these other teams, I mean, if you don't have Lamar Jackson, if you don't have Josh Allen, even Josh Allen this week, what happens if you have Josh Allen and Justin Fields? Allen, who's dealing with that elbow, and oh, by the way, 2 feet of snow expected to land in Buffalo this week when they take on Cleveland. I think that's an interesting conversation to have. And I think, like, basically anybody but Jackson and Mahomes this week, you got to have a serious thought process of who you're starting at quarterback, Fields versus the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing in the dome at Atlanta. I mean, it's faster. I mean, it's hard to imagine now that Fields has, I mean, they've changed their offense to feature him and with all these run design play calls. I mean, why would they go back to not doing these things?
Right.
I mean, this seems very sustainable and that he can continue. I mean, 40-point games, I mean, that's – I mean, like, who knows, that's – but, I mean, if he turns into a 25, 30-point consistent scorer, I mean, that's huge. So
it is it's massive. It's massive. We're talking a lot of quarterbacks, and the guy who has been carrying a lot of teams, like your team, and not this specific team, but a lot of your other teams. Your most owned quarterback in the FFPC this year is Jalen Hurts. He's an MVP candidate. Obviously, the Eagles ended up losing to the Commanders last night. But this is a guy who's been crushing it for teams this year. Why were you able to get him in so many drafts? I'm not sure. You know, I know you got a lot of best ball tournament drafts as well. But why were you able to acquire Jalen Hurts when seemingly everybody should have been in on this? Why were you in on this more than other teams to get Hurts on so many squads?
I mean, he was just there's a lot to like about him. I mean, we already saw what he could do that he had a rushing floor that was elite, and then they added AJ Brown. They drafted Devonta Smith in the first round last year. Goddard was elite tight end, so there was just a lot to like about him. You know, the approach that I took at quarterback with most drafts was I wanted to come away with one of three guys: Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, or Trey Lance. Now, two of the three worked out really well. Lance obviously did not work out well, but typically that was the strategy. I mean, obviously I don't have those three guys in every single draft, but you know, that was my pretty much general approach. You know, like Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, or Trey Lance. I was hoping to get one of those three guys in most drafts.
All right, so let me ask you this: Jalen Hurts uses his legs a lot. Trey Lance, we were expecting him to use his legs a lot. Patrick Mahomes does not use his legs a ton, at least for rushing yardage. He extends plays with them, doesn't necessarily get a ton of rushing yardage. Why was Mahomes in that category in a year where he was not going to have Tyreek Hill at his disposal?
Yeah, I mean, it was more just the discount that you were getting on Mahomes this year. I mean, going in the sixth round. I mean, this team that we've been talking about that's 11th, I mean, we got him at the 6-7 turn. You know, like, I mean, he was a second round guy 3 years ago, third round guy last year. I mean, he's been a elite quarterback. And, you know, even with, I mean, obviously you can't replace Tyreek Hill. But, I mean, they added Juju. They they drafted Sky Moore. Mecole was there. I mean, they had weapons, and it felt as if they had a chip on. And this is kind of a gut feeling thing that who knows if you put any weight on it. But just the way they lost last year and everybody talking about how their offense isn't going to be as good with Tyreek Hill leaving – just kind of felt like Andy Reid and Mahomes were kind of want to really stick it and show that they're still elite. And they also had a great schedule. I mean, the AFC West and playing all the NFC. I mean, so it felt like they were going to be in a lot of high scoring games. And so, you know, getting Mahomes at a 3-round discount compared to where he was last year just felt like a guy that I wanted to have a lot of.
I understand why you like Lance. I mean, obviously this is a guy that was – had top five upside, and he was going as the ninth quarterback off the board, essentially in the ninth or 10th round. And even earlier in draft season, later than that, Mahomes finished with an ADP of 511, Jalen Hurts 608, but right at that same spot at 608 in drafts, as far as quarterbacks go in the FFPC, was Lamar Jackson. Why was Lamar Jackson? Why did he not make your top three?
I guess because I felt like the Ravens wanted to – they were not going to play as many shootout games as the Chiefs. I thought that Kansas City was more likely to play in shootout games. Baltimore, I felt like, wanted to reestablish the run. You know, we saw last year their defense was just decimated with injuries, and they had to play these shootout-type games that is not John Harbaugh. You know, it's not Baltimore Raven football. And – you know, just really thought that, you know, losing Hollywood Brown, how is that going to impact the offense? And I don't know, Lamar's great. You know, like, Lamar's still a top five quarterback. It's not like I didn't draft Lamar Jackson at all. You know, I just happened to prioritize Mahomes a little bit more than him and Jalen Hurts a little bit more than him. That's all, you know, it was more, more of a pro Mahomes, pro Jalen Hurts take than an anti Lamar Jackson take.
Rob Abbott, not anti Lamar Jackson.
Let's get that clear on the record.
That's absolutely on the record tonight. Last question here for you. I know it's early. It's Tuesday. Waivers haven't been processed. We're still basking in the glow of week 10. We haven't fully flipped the page to week 11 yet, but I'm going to force you to do it tonight. Have you looked at your lineups? Is there a sleeper player as you look at the matchups for week 11 that you're excited about getting in your lineups this week? And conversely, is there a guy that you think a lot of people will probably start, but they probably should think twice before they do it because this guy could bust out in week 11?
So the second part of that question, I was kind of going through some of my lineups and a guy that I drafted a lot of that I benched in a few spots where I had a good depth at receiver was DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield's is starting this week. We saw that, you know, DJ did not have much success with Baker earlier in the season. Mayfield just sucks. And they're playing on the road at Baltimore. Just doesn't feel like a good matchup for DJ Moore. So I was benching him in a few spots. As far as sleeper, I mean, you can never go against like I told you before, I live in Houston. The Texans' run defense is just god-awful. So Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson, those two guys would be certainly guys that I would be very confident starting. I think both of them will put up starting-type numbers this week because the Texans can't stop anybody on the ground.
All right, so let me – I know I said last question. I lied. I'm gonna throw this at you because it's a Texans question, and it affects a lot of my rosters here. So you look at the receiver position for the Texans. We know what was going on with Brandon Cooks. He didn't want to be in Houston.
Right.
He wanted to be elsewhere. He didn't get his wish. He is no longer a captain on the team. Played last week, but he didn't really crush it at all. Nico Collins, though. 10 targets. Now he only caught 5 of them, but 10 targets. He gets in the end zone, 49 yards. What are your thoughts on Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins going forward? Is Brandon Cooks a guy that you can afford to bench in certain leagues where you have some good receivers? And is Nico Collins a guy that should be sneaking in as a potential flex for some teams going forward? And you probably know this better than me. I'll bring it up right now. But the Houston Texans hosting the Commanders on a short week this week.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, I have very little Brandon Cooks. I mean.
So, let me stop you there. Why is that?
The Davis Mills was not going to support. I didn't feel Davis Mills was going to support a elite producer at receiver. Okay. And Cook, there's just other guys in that range where Cooks was going that I liked more. And so I just got very little Brandon Cooks. And I mean, now we see, he's unhappy, clearly doesn't want to be here. Nico Collins, I mean, I don't think he's ever been to be a league difference maker, league winning type guy. He's certainly startable in tight spots whenever, I mean, if, you know, like he buys injuries, you know, you need somebody to start me. Like you said, 10 targets. I mean, anybody that gets 10 targets is worthy of a flex starting type guy. So, you know, I would be fine in spots where, you needed a starting receiver. I think Nico is certainly startable. I mean, he's never somebody you're going to feel great about, you know, just more because of the Texans offense than anything else. You know, they want to give Damian Pierce 25 carries and, you know, they're not going to, yeah. I mean, they're not going to, I don't know. The Texans passing game is not where you want to go to for fantasy production, really.
Well, listen, excellent work avoiding Brandon Cooks this year.
Yeah.
excellent work not taking Jonathan Taylor with that 101 pick this year. And certainly it's looking like a genius move when you consider you guys are sitting in 11th place, you and Mark are, by going with McCaffrey. Your lineup is loaded. I already closed out the lineup decision or your team. The lineup decisions you guys have to make when everybody's healthy and not on a bye week. I want to be you, but I don't want to be you. You know what I mean?
It's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have. Absolutely. Well, listen, man, thank you so much for doing the show this week. Good luck not only in week 11, but good luck the rest of the way. You're a highly accomplished player. I'm certainly thankful that I got to pick your brain tonight. And hopefully you guys pull home the million. We'll see what happens.
That would be wonderful.
And rest assured, one of the requirements, if you do win that million, will have to be coming back on this show and talking about how you did it.
For sure. That's a deal. But I hope to be doing that.
Yeah, I hope you are too, for sure. Be good in Houston, and we will talk again soon. Thank you so much, Rob.
Awesome. Had a good time.
You too. Rob Abbott, ladies and gentlemen, the 11th place team owner in the FFPC main event as we head in to week 11 here. And we're coming up on league playoff time, people. And before you know it, we'll be in the championship round sprint, and somebody is going to become the first ever FFPC millionaire this year. Will it be Rob? Possible. You never know what could happen here going forward. So we're looking forward to crowning a millionaire coming up at the early part of January. That will complete tonight's Road of His High Stakes Lowdown. Want to thank Rob Abbott for popping aboard. In case you missed it, we did I'm doing special bonus episodes this week because I will not have a strong enough video connection via internet next week, thanks to my lovely wife who booked the vacation. God love her, but probably not the week to do it. But so I'm doing bonus episodes this week. We had Eric Sisson, the 40th place team overall in the Football Guys Players Championship, on the Road of His High Stakes Lowdown last night. You can go back and watch that on the FFPC YouTube channel or rotoviz.com/podcast. And then we just recorded myself and KFFSC Commissioner Farrell Elliott recorded a High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour bonus episode right before this tonight with the KFFSC main event leader, Jason Kahn, of course, former WCOF $300,000 champion, Jason Kahn, on that episode as well. Check that out on the FFPC YouTube channel. It'll be on your anywhere you get podcasts, probably within the next 12 hours when that podcast drops, when the audio is edited and dropped on that. So thank you so much to Rob Abbott. Thank you so much to everybody watching out there, the FFPC. And everybody who makes this podcast possible. Don't forget the RotoViz, the Better Sports Network's High Stakes Fantasy Football Show goes live tomorrow from 10 p.m. until midnight Eastern Time. That's myself and attorney to the stars for footballguys.com, Drew Davenport, will be co-hosting with me. We'll get you set for week 11. We'll go through my weekly challenge lineup that I can't submit. If I could, I would, but I can't. And Drew will pick that clean. We'll also have a big Thursday night preview of the Packers and Titans and much more going through that as well. Check out the FFPC weekly challenge, myffpc.com, where you can play for $35, $200 for entry fees in a 30-team format or 100-team format. Or you can play against 9 other teams with a $200 entry fee, and the winner will get to play for $1 million in the 2023 FFPC main event for free. Yeah, that's right. You can get a free 2023 FFPC main event entry. All you have to do is beat 9 other people. You can't beat that with a stick. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, and share, and get notified of when we have more videos on this channel. We will be back on this channel Friday night at 10/9 Central with Rob Sussman, who actually has a team. I forget which spot he is in. I'm looking at it right now. 17th place in the Football Guys Players Championship. He will be our guest on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour this Friday night with Farrell Elliott. Join us on the BSN app tomorrow, which is free in the App Store and Google Play or Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. We're broadcasting the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show with myself and Drew Davenport then. Enjoy your Tuesday night. Enjoy your Wednesday. And we will see you tomorrow. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 10% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.